Hello and welcome to this Black History Month program honoring some of our citizens from the Northern Neck. I'm your host, Pixie E. Curry. I have the pleasure of having five interviewees to participate in this program. Today's guest is Mr. Samuel Key, former catcher with the 1954 Brooklyn Dodgers and an active volunteer in the preservation of his former high school, the historic Julia Rosenwald High School, Northumberland County. I want to thank the Northern Neck Baptist Association and moderator, Reverend Janar E. Reed, corresponding secretary, Ms. Joy Carpru, and all the members churches from Lancaster, Northumberland, Westmoreland, and Richmond counties, and especially the members of a Calvary Baptist Church, Reverend Samuel Kane, and their board members for allowing the use of the facilities for all 5 days of this series. And now the infamous Mr. Samuel Keeve. Hi, Mr. Keeve.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
You're doing great, I bet. I want to thank you. First of all, I know that I'm not very good at giving directions on things, but you're here, and I am very blessed that you are participating in this Black History series with me. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I want to first start talking about the fact that you began playing baseball with a minor league baseball team that was organized by Bill Gustus. Then they were called the Northumberland Giants.
Correct.
Tell me a little bit about that team.
Okay, well, it was founded by Bill Gustus, and I started playing with him when I was 13 years old. He had a stadium down there by the park with lights at night or day, compared to night or day. And I stayed with him until I got in high school, because I couldn't play with the high school because I was too experienced. They wouldn't let me play in my junior year. And I stopped playing with Gustus and went with the junior year in high school.
But they were a minor league? I mean, how were they recognized as being a minor league team?
That's just Bill Gustus' baseball team. That's all recognized. It was a minor league. He had a bunch of guys just playing that would go all over the place play.
So while you was playing with the Northumberland Giants, how did the recruiters hear about the Northumberland Giants and came to the Northern Neck to recruit y'all for the Brooklyn Dodgers?
No, the Hall of Fame with Gustus outside the school, and I couldn't play with the school until I quit playing for them in my junior year and went back to school, stopped playing back with the school. Then the scouts came from the Brooklyn Dodgers up there, we were playing a game, and picked out three of us playing with the school.
And then what happened?
They picked us out, and then they sent tickets for us to come to Vero Beach, Florida on March the 3rd, 1954. So the three of us, Thomas Basker, Cookie Park, and myself, caught the train in Richmond and went to Vero Beach, Florida, in the Farm Club in Vero Beach, Florida. And we stayed down there 17 days. It was five other catchers with me, white boys. They went back home. I stayed. And during that time I stayed, I was catching three games a day. Every day you hit the field at 9 o'clock and till about 4. I stopped for lunch, took a lunch break. And I was catching three games a day, every day. While we were there, I met Jackie Robbins and Roy Campanella, which was my eating space between those two for the 17 days I was down there. So that was the greatest experience I ever had in my life. We stayed down there and we came back home. They didn't make it there. After we came back home, they broke up from me for 3 years in a row. I had gotten married. My wife had my baby each year. I didn't know what I was doing. I just didn't know the advantage I had. So that knocked that in the head then. But it was the greatest experience I had going down there with them. And we played while I was with them. I caught Don Newcomer, Carl Rex Bonner, Carl Spooner, Rex Bonner, Don Newcomer in the exhibition game with Washington Senators. And that catching those three were a great experience for me playing with the Dodgers at Farm Club.
The Washington Senators, is that a team that changed its name and still in existence, or did they disband?
They changed their name to Commanders. They were the Washington Senators when I was there. But while ago they changed it to Wiseman Commanders. That's the name of the club now, First Senator.
I want to ask you a question about college student athletes. Do you think they should be compensated for playing for their college? You know, some of the athletes that are on scholarships and they play for their college and they're pretty much like pro teams as far as I'm concerned, or like my opinion counts. But
I know what you're talking about.
But I mean, do you think that they should be compensated, particularly like college football? Do you think that the college athlete should be compensated for playing college games?
Yes, I do. I do, because they put their whole soul and body in it.
Do you think that more young Black high school athletes will be considering choosing the historical Black college and universities for opportunities to advance their talents?
Yes, they can do that, and then they'll get a grant and help them through college.
In the past, it seemed like the Black athlete, they did not consider going to historical Black colleges because they thought, or they was told that they would have more opportunities to be considered for major league players if they go to a more elite white schools. Do you think that's changing? Do you think that Black student athletes would think more about going to historical Black colleges, particularly now since Deion Sanders showed what caliber of the level of players that comes out of historical Black colleges? Do you think that will increase?
It should, because it's worth a try, because that would be your chance for a try.
I know that you still working as a carpenter, helping to preserve your high school, the Julia Rosenwald High School. Tell me, what are some of the efforts that you're putting to trying to preserve that school?
I put all the windows in and did some work on the floors until they run those short of funds. They got trying some windows now. And I think they'll get back, somebody told me they're going to get back sometime in the spring.
Has it been hard getting people to donate to help to preserve the schools?
No, they were getting some grants and people were donating. One or two people asked me how could they donate, and I recommend them, tell them where they could go.
What person in history would you have wanted to have met, and what would you ask them?
Martin Luther King.
What would you have asked them?
I'd ask them, with today, how could we keep moving forward? Keep moving forward in what he was doing.
You think we came to a standstill, Mr. Key?
No, I don't think so, but I think people are not just holding up what he started. The segregation is still out there.
Name three of the most significant events that happened within your lifetime as it pertains to your civil rights.
All right. I was at a railway, Rice Railway. And I asked for, I was doing the same thing the white guys were doing up there, the same thing. I asked him for a raise. He said he couldn't do it. But after I quit, he came back and got me and gave me the raise. But I had gotten to do good in my other work then, so I didn't go back that much. And the next one to be experiencing segregation was in school and my doctor's office. It wasn't at Charlton's office, but it was up in the heat up to Plattsburgh, Dr. Neal up there. It was segregated. It had black on one side and white on the other. And the school played that out because they went on immigrant credit. But they're the two experiences I had.
I guess what you're saying is the most significant events that happen within your lifetime as it pertains to your civil rights is that you demanded to be paid equal pay to all the workers at railway where you was working.
Right.
And the second one was the segregation that you experienced, particularly when you went to your doctor's office, how they were segregated from, at that time, they were saying colored and white. that right. was something that you knew happened within your lifetime with the segregation of people.
Yeah.
So what was the best advice you was given when you were preparing to enter adulthood?
Dan O'Connor gave me the best advice anyone could have. Be what you are and live your life.
And you did that, correct?
I did that.
What do you want to be remembered for?
Oh, an experienced carpenter, baseball player, and family man. I was father of 7 daughters, 1 boy.
What challenge would you give to the young Black people?
Stay in school and get an education or trade.
So I know that you are an experienced carpenter. Tell me about some of the houses that you helped to build.
I docked down at Dr. Shawson's office. We built that when I was in school, and they had a building down on the beach, 2-story building. I helped to build that. I was about 13 or 14 years old then, working as a apprentice with the carpenter. Robert Curry and Beecham Benz, Robert Curry, my brother-in-law, and Beecham, my cousin, they taught me everything I knew about carpenter. And I appreciate them because it got me through life as working for yourself, and you could be your own boss. I've been my own boss for about 50 years, and I enjoy it. If I want, and right now, I'm 87 years old in good health. Got a little arthritis, but I think too many people got that. And I don't take no prescription medicine. I know Dr. Keel went for that. I get a checkup every 6 months, and he keeps telling me whatever I'm doing, keep doing it. Right now, I'm a foreman on the job for a young carpenter, Tyrese Crockett. 5 of us work together. We get along fine. I don't have to lift no material. All I do is measure, cut, and give it to them, and they nail it. And we were together all day, and we just enjoy working with each other. And we can do with them, put anything in the carpenter work. And I'm glad to be there with them because they're learning good.
I have a question from Facebook. Eldine Curry wants to know, if you could do anything different when you were young, what would it be?
I've been playing ball. It wouldn't exceed carpenter work because I love what I did, and I still love it. That was what I wanted to be with a carpenter when I came up. And I didn't make the baseball team, so I went into professional carpenter work.
So you would have stayed ball player, is what you're saying? That's what you would have done differently?
If I had made it, yeah, I would have stayed that. And then I didn't do that, so I went into carpenter work, and I love it.
Now one day I called you, and then, like you say, you were 87. You was up on the roof. I
mean, oh, yeah. That's no problem.
Yeah. Okay, Santa Claus. Up on the roof at 87 years old, and I can't even get on a footstool without feeling afraid. I'm in awe of you, really.
Well, so, most times when I go up, I don't have to go. I go up the ladder one time, and I stay up there until the work is done, anything I need. My helper go get it, bring it to me. But I stay up, I don't go back and forth up to. I go up there one time and stay up until I come down for the day.
Amazing. You were saying that you helped to build Dr. Jan Charlton's Medical Center. And you right. were 13 when you was working on that building. Mm-hmm. You was an apprentice to Mr. Benz and Mr. Curry, Robert Curry. Right. And uh-huh. they were master carpenters, and they taught you to be a master carpenter. There's a lot of buildings in Northumberland and homes that y'all built. You know how many?
Yeah, I don't know how many. We built a lot of them, and I helped them on. Until I got the experience myself, and I went on for myself. But I'd go back and help them if they needed help, and they would come to help. We would help each other. We were a good team in there, too. I was young and wild, but they came in there.
Young and wild. You kind of a little older and wild, too. I love talking to you. I love hearing you laugh. Mr. Keith, we were talking about Julie Rosenwald, knowing how they trying to preserve the school. They're not trying to preserve in across the board the history of Black people, you know, not just in the Northern Neck area, but in the world. What do you think needs to happen for things to finally take a turn where we are recognized for the greatness and for the achievements that have been made by our people?
Just keep doing what you're doing and get better each day. And just don't give up. Everything's going to be all right. But if you turn your back, just do it and set the heck with it, it's nothing going to happen. But save it in this field. Your turn.
That seemed to be the general feeling from the people that I've been talking to, is that they had that hope that we're going to achieve our goal, which is to be equals.
That's right.
Sometimes it can be hard, but knowing what all of you have endured, it kind of makes me feel small in thinking that I can't achieve, because y'all had a lot harder than I did. Harder. So I have a question from Jacqueline from Facebook. Do you still do any woodworking on a smaller scale?
I do woodwork on any scale. Working with the Crockett, we don't have no limit. We do anything you want them to do a job. I work with him. I still do my little job, too. Okay, maybe one day I might have to tell him where to go.
Hey, have you ever had to travel for a job?
I did a lot of that when I was growing up, until I got older. I did a lot of work in Washington, Richmond, D.C., but at my age now, I want to be home.
Up on a roof. Yeah, okay. You sitting between Jackie Robinson and Roy Cappanello. Did you ask questions? Did you talk to them? What did they tell you?
They wouldn't even talk to me. I never had a conversation with them. I'd be talking to them, they didn't know me.
A rookie. You were just a rookie. When you came back, did you go back to the minor league, or did you just give up, continue to play in the minor league?
Yeah, I went back to the team for the Augustus.
When did you stop? How long did you play?
I was working at a railway, and I fishing with lumber, kicked back and hit me on my knee and busted cottage in my knee. I was 34, 35 then, and I had it healed, but I couldn't run as fast. So I was hitting ball, which would be a home run or triple, and I was getting food on the run. So I decided to quit. I didn't want to get hurt permanently because I couldn't take care of my family. And so I quit entirely. And I was 34, 35.
You talking about the railway. Could you explain to those who don't know what a railway is? What is that?
A railway is a place that builds wooden boats, build them, and repair them. We build a lot of them and repair a lot of them. And now they're going into the fiberglass, and wooden boats are gone out. They call them a river now. But they have lift to power to lift the water. But when I was down there, they had a wooden track on tracks, power to go back in the water, pick the boat up and bring it up. Now they got a lift, go down the water, go to the land, go down and pick the boat up and bring it up. So they did away with the railway part. They went to the Falklands, went to the lift.
Did you ever work on any Chesapeake dead rise?
That's what I got to quit on. I'll build them then. I got just as good as the other guys got. That's what he asked for a raise. He wouldn't pay me. They already told me, when you get told you can do dead rides, you're expert. And I got an expert and didn't get paid for it. So I quit. So I did get paid.
And then they called you back?
He called me back. I got more money and got cash in my dad. You didn't get on the mail check. You don't take nothing out of me. And he did that because he needed me.
Nothing like being indispensable.
Yeah.
Since that seemed like that tradition of building wooden boats is sort of gone, have you ever thought about just teaching how to build boats, wooden boats?
Maybe one time, but now I ain't got patience for that now. With these kids, it's hard to deal with them. I ain't got too old for that now.
Don't have the patience for it, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't have the patience for it to demonstrate that now.
That's a real skill to have, just being able to work with wood. Now they have things like 3D printers that can build houses. Sort of amazing. Mm-hmm. Do you ever think about, just passing on this tradition at all?
Son done a little bit. And the guys I work with, they doing good. I'm telling them, showing them everything I know. They're doing good. I really enjoy working each other. They learning, because I'm showing them how or put the way to go. And they're doing good together. We're all doing good together.
Well, Mr. Keene, who do you follow in sports?
I follow the Dodgers.
Still a Dodger?
If I ain't asleep. Yeah. If I ain't asleep.
You watching a baseball game. Do you like football?
Yeah, I like football too. I have a nephew that married a lady that her son played on with the Philadelphia Eagles. I watch them a lot.
What is something that you want people to know about you that you're willing to share right now?
First thing, don't drink no liquor.
You make me laugh. I'm sorry.
liquor will lead you to the wrong thing. You might overcome it. I overcame it. But I went a lot of the way it while I was doing it.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
What else? Be careful now.
That's the United States. Like I said, be what you are, live your life, and be careful. You tell them.
The last time I saw you, you took me around Beeville to show me all the houses that you had built or had assisted in building. And you mm-hmm. also took me down to where the ferry is. And you told me mm-hmm. how you used to swim across one side of the...
Ophelia, from Fairbank to Ophelia. The water is Little Waconga River. The Great Waconga is up British. This was the Little Waconga. I swam from Sunnybank side to the Figure side, which is a quarter of a mile.
You did that back and forth, right? You would go from one side and then to the other, and you did that every day?
Every day. We'd be there working, software around the show, and go up and get out, get paid, get down and eat, drink a soda, then we start swimming. I thought swimming, I had to swim when I started. And my brother, we was all in the boat together, he turned the boat over, told me to swim or drown. So I had to swim. That's how I learned. We just work, we come leave from work, had been in had saw crab in that morning. Most of the time we do that would be in the summertime. And after we caught our crab and sold them, had all day not do nothing, then we go swimming.
What was one of your top career highlights as a baseball player?
Well, I was a catcher, and I just loved to do what I was doing. I loved to play.
But what was a standout play or, you know, a moment when you was a catcher, something that, like, you tagged out or caught a fly or pop up or something that stood out as you in your career as a baseball player?
Having a player on first and second, first and third. I could throw the ball at second to that guy, and the shortstop would kill the one coming home.
A double play.
Double play. I love that.
Do you remember who the players were with the names?
Yeah. They had Tolson boys, three or four of those, and Clifford Date. And we had a bunch of guys from Richmond. Moving Thornton was one. And the pitcher, Charles Basker and Silver Basker, Booker Taylor. I caught a lot of them.
That's while you were playing for the Northumberland Giants. Did anything like that happen when you were playing for the Dodgers? Did you have an outstanding moment when you were playing with them
I had a couple of plays like that. I can't remember who they were, but I had a couple of plays like that.
I can only imagine how you must have felt, you know, being on a team like the Dodgers.
And, yeah, I was.
I want to share with you from Tony Williamson Dorsey. She said, Mr. Keith, thank you for sharing your great journey. She said, my grandparents were Robert Anderson and Viola W. Taylor from Whitestone, Virginia. And she appreciates you sharing your thoughts today. So, and I do also. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
What is the proudest achievement of your life at this point in time?
Just trying to stay healthy and keep working. We got the most work coming up. When you get the weather, we're going on them. We got a couple of additions put in, screen porches, some roofs, decks. We went over this weekend. Got a couple of them and bid on them and got them. So you got to get to them.
Four daughters in college at one time is a great achievement also.
Right.
I don't want to hold you. I appreciate that you've taken this time to talk to us. I really appreciate the interview that you gave me. and for the laughter that you gave, because you're the kind of man that, you know, you want to hang out with. You know, you're the uncle that you want to sip Kool-Aid with. a little spike Kool-Aid, have fun with. Mm-hmm. You're a person that has a very positive outlook, and I'm hopeful that, you know, people, you know, will listen to your interview, because you revealed a lot of things that, you know, took courage. For example, how you, you know, back in the day, you know, a Black man standing up to a white man, particularly taking an axe handle and popping him upside the head because he called you the N-word and strolled on. That was, pardon my language, folks, that was badass, big time. You know, for a man that would stand up for himself, you know, I admire that about you. And that you here at 87 still working and teaching and trying to be the proud, accomplished man that you are. I truly appreciate that. And thank you for that.
You're welcome. Glad I can do it. That helped me too.
I have from Leah Bowen. She want to thank you for your courage. And Elvin Curry said that she want to thank you also for your courage, because, like you said, we're not doormats. We're people. You're a man. You're a Black man. We're Black women. Something that you carried within yourself and still do is something to build on. I appreciate that. I'm glad that you was able to get on. I thank you, and hopefully we can do this again, okay?
All right. Anytime. I'll do the best I can.
All right. I know you will. I know you will. All right. See you, Mr.